Welcome to Under Lock and Key, news and commentary about prisons from the Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League.
Movement demanding freedom for Mumia Abu-Jamal advances, but the state counterattacks.
The U.S. incarcerates a greater percentage of its population than any other country, sending more black men to prison than to college. The purpose of this program is to educate about and inspire activism against the American lockdown.
In April, May, and June, the struggle to free death row prisoner Mumia Abu-Jamal continued to intensify. Mumia, a former Black Panther, was framed for the righteous killing of a police officer engaged in an act of police brutality. He was sentenced to death in 1982 after a bogus trial. His appeals are now in the much quicker federal courts, and an execution could happen in the fall. Prior to his arrest, Mumia was a radio journalist who exposed police brutality. From within the walls, through books, articles, and radio commentaries, Mumia continues to be an outspoken leader for the oppressed. This effective political work has earned increasing support from the people, while also earning increasing hatred from the imperialist establishment. Pam Africa and Mumia's attorney, Leonard Weinglass, report that Mumia is ill, with a swollen and discolored left ankle. This may be a result of being forced to wear paper-thin slippers on cold cement floors. The imposition of this new dress code was one cause of a failed death row hunger strike last year. It is also possible that the swollen ankle is a symptom of a more serious health problem, such as heart disease or diabetes. Regardless, the poor health care offered in prison, combined with inadequate food and exercise options, as well as violent beatings, all lead to premature health problems and death in prisoners. This is a form of murder not prosecuted in any court. Over the years, Mumia Abu-Jamal recorded a number of radio commentaries about prisons and the oppression of blacks in America. He was even briefly hired by National Public Radio, but political pressure from the police lobby forced NPR to fire Mumia before airing the commentaries. Mumia is an effective advocate for the oppressed, and the government didn't want to see strong commentaries like this one aired.
Imagine living, eating, sleeping, relieving oneself, daydreaming, weeping, but mostly waiting in the room the size of your bathroom. Now imagine doing all those things, but mostly waiting for the rest of your life. Imagine waiting, waiting, waiting to die. I don't have to imagine. I live in one of those rooms, like about 3,000 other men and women in 38 states across the United States. It's called death row. I call it hell. Welcome to hell. Each of the states which have death rows have a different system for their execution cases, varying from the relatively open to the severely restrictive. Some states, like California and Texas, allow their execution cases work, education, and/or religious service opportunities for out-of-cell time up to 8 hours a day. Pennsylvania locks its execution cases down 23 hours a day, 5 days a week, 24 hours the other 2 days. At the risk of quoting Mephistopheles, I repeat, welcome to hell. A hell erected and maintained by human governments and blessed by black-robed judges. A hell which allows you to see your loved ones, but not to touch them. A hell situated in America's boondocks, hundreds of miles away from most families. A white rural hell where most of the cage captives are black and urban. It is the American way of death. Contrary to what one might suppose, this hell is the easiest one to enter in a generally hellish criminal justice system. Why? Because unlike any other case, those deemed potential capital cases are severely restricted during the jury selection phase, as any juror who admits opposition to the death penalty is immediately and automatically removed, leaving only those who are fervent death penalty supporters in the pool of eligible jurors. When it is argued that to exclude those who oppose death and to include only those who supported death was fundamentally unfair, as the latter were more conviction-prone, the United States Supreme Court, in a case titled Lockhart v. McCree, said such a claim was of no constitutional significance. Once upon a time, politicians promised jobs and benefits to constituents, like a chicken in every pot to get elected. It was a surefire vote-getter. No longer. Today, the lowest-level politico up to the president use another surefire gimmick to guarantee victory. Death. Promise death, and the election is yours. Guaranteed. Vraiment. A vote for hell in the land of liberty, with its over 1 million prisoners, is the ticket to victory. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
On June 11, Mumia Abu-Jamal spoke via tape-recorded speech at the graduation ceremony at Evergreen College in Washington State. Washington State Governor Gary Locke was also scheduled to speak, but he pulled out so as not to share the stage with Mumia. We hope to air this 13-minute address on a future edition of this program. Evergreen President Jane Jervis issued a statement saying Abu-Jamal was invited to speak as part of a discussion on the validity of the death penalty and of the effects of racism and poverty on justice. But discussion is not on America's agenda. Governor Locke wouldn't discuss the issue on the same stage with Mumia. House Majority Whip Tom DeLay of Texas pledged to call for a moment of silence in the House in protest of the speech. In a statement, DeLay called the invitation of Mumia socially irresponsible. According to the Associated Press, some students in uniformed pigs walked out of the ceremony and 24 turned their backs during the speech. Other students wore yellow armbands in support of Mumia. That the school invited Mumia and that he spoke should have been the focus of the Associated Press news story, but instead it focused on the protest. Mumia was invited by a committee of students, administrators, and faculty. The college resisted public pressure to disinvite Mumia, but has since begun a revision of how the college selects speakers in the future. The dead pig's widow told the Associated Press that the speech was not fitting for a graduation ceremony, a classroom maybe, but not a graduation ceremony. In imperialist America, there are two kinds of acceptable graduation speeches, fluff and imperialist mouthpieces advancing the American foreign policy agenda. Mumia's speech on the need for people to become revolutionaries is neither. Most people do not question why the imperialists deserve free speech to huge audiences and throughout the mainstream press, while revolutionaries, at best, hope for a chance to speak to a small classroom. The Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League thinks that people should be offended when the warmongers give speeches to graduating classes, encouraging them to become a part of the war machine. In fact, at many of these speeches, large student protests take place, never to get reported in the media.
On April 24, 10,000 people attended a rally and march in Philadelphia to celebrate the 45th birthday of Mumia and to demand his freedom. Thousands more rallied in San Francisco. Maoist Internationalist Movement and Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League comrades attended the rally in Philadelphia to distribute literature, interact with the masses, and raise funds for the Books for Prisoners program. Single-issue organizing, such as the fight focused exclusively on saving Mumia Abu-Jamal's life, tends to lack a broad revolutionary perspective. This is why it is especially important for MIM and RAIL to attend events like this one. While it is important to demand freedom for imprisoned revolutionary leaders, MIM and RAIL go further and organize against the prison system as a whole. The Maoist Internationalist Movement makes the point that all prisoners are political prisoners because all imprisonment under imperialism is political. This can be seen, for example, in the fact that black men are 8 times more likely to go to prison than whites. Of those incarcerated for their political beliefs or actions, Mumia is the only one on death row, although it is equally true that others have sentences that will ensure they die in prison. However, what happened to Mumia is not exceptional. The judicial railroading of black men into a gas chamber is the status quo of imperialism. The blatant miscarriage of justice in Mumia's case presents an opportunity to expose and organize against imperialism as a whole that should not be missed. But we need to put this case in the larger context of the criminal and justice system. At the same time, both at rallies like this one, which many people will attend and then consider their duties as an activist done for the year, and on the streets, we need to be pushing people to make the struggle against this corrupt imperialist system a part of their lives. As Mumia told the graduating class at the mostly white Evergreen State College, speaking of the Black Panther Party founder, "Huey Newton, at least in his earlier years, lived his life deliberately and set the mark as a revolutionary. What was the difference between Huey Newton and you? Absolutely nothing. Except he made the choice." Let's let Jella Biafra of Dead Kennedys fame raise this issue with an international spin.
When Nigerian environmental and native rights activist Ken Sarowiwa was hanged on trumped-up murder charges, the Nigerian government and Shell Oil were condemned all over the world as outlaws. Now we are the outlaws of the world in the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal. As more and more wealth is sucked upward by those who don't need it, and mass rage toward corporate America swells closer and closer to the boiling point, the official response is to keep the lid clamped on tighter and tighter. If this is allowed to keep going, what has happened to Mumia Abu-Jamal could happen to other innocent people. If allowed to go far enough, it could happen to you or me.
It could happen to Jello Biafra. It could happen to the producers of this program. But it's not doing the revolutionary movement any good to overstate the current balance of forces or pretend that everyone shares the same risks as Mumia Abu-Jamal. Mumia, like Ken Sarowiwa, was framed because he was an outspoken opponent of the system. Many others are framed because cops are lazy and they politically need to get a conviction. What the prison system does is incarcerate its political opponents. This is because of the political work of activists like Mumia Abu-Jamal or Ken Sarowiwa. It's also a form of political warfare against internal colonies. The individual blacks and Latinos who so disproportionately crowd the prisons may not all be politically conscious like Mumia, but centuries of national oppression give them that potential. It is the revolutionary potential of the oppressed people that the system fears, and it is that revolutionary potential that is trying in vain to extinguish via the prison industrial complex. Unlike Jello Biafra, we don't pretend that, quote, mass rage against corporate America is swelling closer and closer to the boiling point. We need to confront the fact that most white Americans are doing quite well and are doing better. This majority is quite happy with the current system of injustice. They are all, after all, for the most part, protected from it by virtue of being white. We need to expose injustice wherever it exists, but let's not mislead people in the process. Like Nigeria in the case of Ken Sarowiwa, the United States may be willing to endure international protest in order to maintain its own internal corrupt system. Therefore, we must raise the level of the international condemnation of America. Most importantly, we must build a strong revolutionary movement within the United States to demand freedom for Mumia as part of ending the entire criminal injustice system.
At the end of May, the city of Philadelphia has removed the Black United Front from its employees' annual charitable appeal. The Black United Fund is an important conduit for donations to Mumia's defense. The city charitable appeal is called the Combined Campaign, and in the past raised $1.7 million for charity. A tiny portion of this, only $100,000, went to the Black United Fund. But this tiny portion makes up 25% of the annual budget of the Black United Fund. The Black United Fund gives out dozens of grants to black groups, but the movement to free Mumia didn't get a dime. So what's the crime? The Black United Fund was behind in its legal paperwork, and the city is using this fact to cut off the group, even though the Black United Fund is actively working to rectify their paperwork problem. The real crime was the Black United Fund's alliance with an international concerned family and friends of Mumia Abu-Jamal. The fund handles tax-deductible contributions for the Mumia Group and does bookkeeping in exchange for a small fee. In the last month, the Black United Fund handled $200,000 in donations for Mumia's defense from around the world. According to the City of Philadelphia Deputy Mayor Linda Berkowitz, this work was inconsistent with the objectives of the city's combined campaign. We ask, inconsistent with the objectives of Philadelphia's combined campaign? Probably. Inconsistent with the political demands of the racist city of Philadelphia? Definitely and necessarily.
This has been Under Lock and Key, a revolutionary anti-imperialist league program about prison. For more information, contact RAIL, P.O. Box 712, Amherst, Massachusetts, 01004, or email railradio@min.org.